The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Is WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul, FM 107.5, K298CO Minneapolis, Intelligent Radio.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. President Biden's job approval numbers just keep falling.
According to the weekly average of polls at RealClearPolitics.com, President Biden's approval stands at only 39.6%. That mark trails former President Trump by 5 percentage points at a similar moment in their first terms. Mr. Biden's two strongest negatives are on the issues of inflation at only 34.5% and on the direction of the country at only 26% approval. These results come ahead of this week's Pennsylvania primary. A Fox News poll indicates both candidates are tied at 48% in a two-person race, with Mr. Trump 2 points ahead in a five-candidate field. George Williams reporting.
Ukraine welcoming the passing of that massive aid package by the House. Russia, meanwhile, warns the bill will further ruin Ukraine. This is SRN News.
This week on the Michelle Tafoya podcast.
The education we're serving up today ain't what it used to be, and it's proving to be somewhat worthless, and yet we're still paying tuition for it. There's got to be a change, but it doesn't come from taking care of other people's debts. I just see a lot of people willing to trade freedom and liberty for bigger government and socialism and Marxist values.
Streaming on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Salem Podcast Network.
Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. We are just now starting the top of the 2 o'clock hour, and coming up next, right after this, is going to be the Northern Alliance Radio Network's second hour show of the day with Brad Carlson. So stay tuned right here to AM 1280 The Patriot. You can also listen to your other favorite Patriot hosts and shows like Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and the Narn all hands free on your smart speaker. Just tune in for the first time by saying enable the Patriot Minneapolis, and after that, say play the Patriot Minneapolis. From the JTR Roofing Weather Center, mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 39.
Portions of the following program may have been pre-recorded.
Stand by for the Northern Alliance Radio Network. And go launch sequence. Engineering?
Go flight.
Master control?
Go flight.
Studio engineer?
Go flight.
We are go for launch in T-minus 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The Northern Alliance Radio Network is on the air. Live and local from the AM 1280 The Patriot Studios in Eagan, here is the closer, Brad Carlson.
AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. Back with hour number two of the broadcast we like to call the closer. That's me, Brad Carlson. Thanks as always for tuning into our show. You can check out my blog at bradcarlson.org. And we are here to take your phone calls, 651-289-4488. You can also weigh in via Twitter. Just use hashtag NarnShow. That's hashtag N-A-R-N show. And if you'd like to follow us along on Facebook, feel free to do so. Just go to Facebook and do a search for the Northern Alliance Radio Network and give our page a like or a follow if you haven't done so already. And like I say, we have the live stream up and running, so there's a comment section there as well for where you can leave a comment or a question on any of the topics we are discussing today, and as always, we thank you for tuning in. I want to get to some local issues as we spent the first hour on the NPR debacle. I had heard kind of some grumblings about this past week, but I'm now just digging into it. Michael Broadcorp, who, of course, is a Northern Alliance Radio Network alum, put together a tweet storm a week ago, so last Sunday night, talking about the newly endorsed DFL candidate in House District 12B, which is up in the Alexandria area. Now, 12B is a seat currently held by Representative Mary Franzen, a good solid conservative. I think she won that race back in 2012. After a recount, I think she won by literally one vote after a recount.
if memory serves. And she's run for re-election in that area. Obviously, redistricting has changed it a little bit over the years, but she's won pretty handily ever since then. And, of course, is running for re-election this November as the entire Minnesota House of Representatives are up. Well, Michael Brodkorb on Twitter started a thread about Judd Hoff. Again, he is the DFL-endorsed candidate in House District 12B taking on Mary Franzen. And I'll just kind of read through this. Last evening, so this was a week ago, I learned that the DFL endorsed Hoff to run against Franzen. I did some research on Hoff, and I'm stunned what I learned. Let's start with a video posted by Hoff on November 15th, 2023. In the video, Hoff is calling Representative Chris Swidzinski's office. Hoff speaks with Caleb Jungling, who works at the legislature. Hoff explained that he's calling because he was digging in Representative Mary Franzen's garbage and found an unopened photo greeting card. Hoff tells Jungling that Franzen threw the card away unopened that she had received from Swidzinski. Hoff adds, she took this and threw it in the trash without opening it. Says, I got it on my fridge. Now, I live across the street from her, Representative Mary Franzen. Hoff continues, I just wanted you to know that she threw that beautiful greeting photo in the garbage. She didn't even open it 2 years ago, and I'm calling you because it's the second anniversary of when I found it in the garbage. To recap, according to Hoff, he dug through Franzen's garbage and found an unopened card. He kept the card for 2 years and then opened it. He then put the card on his refrigerator at home, which is across the street from Franzen's home in Alexandria. Yeah, not creepy at all, huh? That's my own editorial there. Continuing with Michael Brodkorb's tweet storm, I've been provided with screenshots of Hoff's social media posts. He has posted multiple pictures of Franzen's home. Below is one of Hoff's posts showing Franzen's home. In the post, he calls Franzen the Antichrist. And Michael very responsibly blurred the image of Franzen's home where he says, where Judd Hoff said, it is Wednesday, June 21st, 2023, and the Antichrist, referring to Franzen, has returned. You can see her Mazda. It is fitting that an Antichrist should come from the East. What does it mean? Here's another post from Hoff that he found Franzen's cell phone number in her trash. He initially redacted the last number of Franzen's cell phone number, but later shared the final number in the post. And again, Michael very responsibly redacted Franzen's number from the post that he is showing a screenshot of. Hoff protested outside Franzen's home before moving in across the street. This means Hoff knew where Franzen lived when he moved into her neighborhood. This is very concerning. Let's transition to legal issues in Hoff's background. A week ago Saturday, Michael posted that Hoff wielded a 23-inch machete against someone in 2020. In 2021, he was convicted of felony second-degree assault for this crime. And then I searched for Judd Bradford Hoff in Minnesota court's record online. Please see the attached link for a PDF for search results. This list includes criminal and civil filings, and you can click on the link, you know, to replicate the search. According to Minnesota Court Records Online, Hoff has the following criminal convictions: felony second-degree assault in 2020, damage to property, fourth-degree intentional damage, other circumstances in 2020. Disorderly conduct, offensive, abusive, noisy, obscene in 2019. Criminal disorderly conduct, offensive and obscene back in 2013. And there's one going back all the way to 1991 for contempt of court. Criminal damage to property in the fourth degree in 1997. It just goes on and on. So then Michael basically picked up on it the next day with a bunch of, again, you can go to Michael Brodkorb's Twitter feed. It's M. Brodkorb if you're so inclined to read the whole things yourself. So basically, you have this guy who doesn't like Mary Franzen, lived in her district, found out where she lived, and deliberately bought a home across the street from her, and was posting pictures of her home and her car on social media. There's a word for this. It's called stalking. And when you have someone who has a long rap sheet and is basically almost admitting to criminal behavior, stalking, okay, that's a problem. And the DFL in House District 12B endorsed this guy to be the DFL opponent to Representative Mary Franzen. Now, to his everlasting credit, DFL Chair Ken Martin has disavowed this endorsement, has come out and said, look, we strongly suggest that you rescind this endorsement of this person. We do not approve of someone like this representing our caucus. These are not the values of the DFL, yada, yada, yada. You know, kudos to Ken Martin. He came right out and said, yeah, this is not good in a sense. And Walter Hudson, who was on the lesser radio station, lesser conservative radio station recently, you know, he made a great point. He said, you know, number one, this is stalking behavior. And secondly, have any leaders, DFL leaders, elected leaders, specifically House Speaker Melissa Hortman or Senate Majority Leader Aaron Murphy, have any of them come out on the record and condemn this behavior? I mean, it's one thing if this were just a private citizen going after a legislator, but this is someone who wants to oppose this legislator and be part of the DFL caucus. So again, they may have come out and made a statement. I don't know. But, you know, Walter Hudson, as he said in the Lesser Talk Station, he made a great point. He says, you know, the media would be working overtime and have microphones in the faces of prominent DFL Republican elected officials and Republican leaders if the shoe were on the other foot. If it were a Republican, prospective Republican candidate stalking a Minnesota legislator. And rightly so. And I would hope every single Republican leader and elected official and GOP party chair, whomever, I hope they would all come out and say, we do not approve of this endorsement. We insist that you disavow this person once and for all. I mean, this is just absolutely maniacal behavior. And I get it. You know, Mary Franzen is very, very conservative, and she's been a favorite target of the left. I mean, you even have some dipstick who, I forget the guy's name, doesn't really matter, is in North Dakota. He was in North Dakota. Maybe he's in Minnesota again. I don't know. But he was in North Dakota writing hit pieces on Mary Franzen, a Minnesota legislator. A North Dakota journalist was writing hit pieces on Mary Franzen. Okay? So she has clearly drawn the ire of the left. But this goes beyond ideological disagreements. And this is just stalking behavior. And it's, again, from a guy who has a long rap sheet. I mean, it's one thing. Well, no, I'm not even going to put disclaimers on it. No, whether the guy has a rap sheet or not, this is just downright creepy. Again, the way he's sharing these anecdotes would tell you he knew Mary Franzen lived there and bought the house right across the street from her. Okay? So you can draw your own conclusions there. And again, Brianna Biersbach at the Star Tribune wrote a piece about this last Monday. Minnesota Republicans are calling on state Democrats to rescind the endorsement of Judd Hoff, a candidate for a state house with a criminal record who has been accused of stalking and harassing the incumbent Republican legislator. Hoff was endorsed this month by local Democrats to run in a central Minnesota House district that's been represented by Mary Franzen since 2011. Republicans say Hoff has harassed and stalked Franzen for years, digging through her trash, publishing her address and contact information, filming her at her private residence, and relentlessly sending rude and threatening messages online, said Representative Josh Heinzman, a Republican out of Nisswa and chair of the House Republican Campaign Committee. And Michael Broadcorp brought receipts. He posted the social media posts on Judd Hoff's Facebook page. Now, again, he did the responsible thing by blurring out the pertinent information as well as pictures of Mary Franson's house. But yeah, that these accusations are absolutely true. He has done this. While I have no doubt the Representative Franson will overwhelmingly win re-election, this man belongs nowhere near the ballot, and the DFL should make clear that this behavior will not be tolerated, Heinzman added. State GOP Party Chair David Hand said in a statement that the endorsement, quote, normalizes his threatening behavior toward Representative Mary Franson, close quote, and must be immediately rescinded. DFL Party Chair Ken Martin said in a statement that the state party, quote, strongly disavows this endorsement, close quote, and he's asked the local party unit to, quote, withdraw their endorsement immediately, close quote. The Minnesota DFL will not spend any of our resources on behalf of Mr. Hoff, Martin added. We all have a responsibility, regardless of party or ideology, to reject violence in our politics. We can and should expect better from candidates for elected office. Now, the local Democrats in the district did not immediately respond to a request for a comment. And again, I'm reading this story. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that if House Speaker Melissa Hortman or Senate Majority Leader Aaron Murphy had given quotes, they would have been included in the story, but they haven't been. So they either haven't been asked, or they have been asked and have declined comment. I'm going to lean toward they may not have been asked, okay? Or maybe they were reached out for and haven't responded. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. This drumbeat would continue on a daily basis, as Walter Hudson pointed out, and it bears repeating. If the shoe were on the other foot, if it were a kook Republican stalking a DFL legislator, digging through her trash, posting photos of her home online, engaging in this stalking behavior, I guarantee you there would be daily updates, hourly updates almost. Oh, nope, still haven't heard back from this Republican leader, still haven't heard back from that Republican leader. Well, I guess they must endorse stalking. And again, DFL Chair Ken Martin didn't give any disclaimers, didn't give any yeah buts, just came out and said, nope, we're not supporting this guy. If you're not going to rescind his endorsement, you're getting no support from us, period, end of story. So I at least applaud him for that, but it's sad. It's absolutely sad that's worthy of applause. Shouldn't that be the bare minimum? That, hey, we have differing ideas, but we don't engage in this gutter-type behavior regardless of who you are. I mean, shouldn't that be the minimum? And the fact that we're applauding him for doing something that should be absolutely expected is kind of a sad state of affairs of where discourse is today. So, if anything else comes up, any more stories are warranted for this saga, we will definitely weigh in on it. And by the way, this district, Mary Franson won re-election just in 2022, less than 2 years ago, with 70% of the vote. So she was never in any danger of losing. That's not the point. I think this guy gets some sort of sick kick out of harassing her. So, and it's been very clear, giving his criminal past. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter, hashtag NarnShow. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show. And don't forget, the live stream of our broadcast is up and running at our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page, where you can leave a comment. Question is there as well. Brad Carlson back with another segment on the broadcast in mere moments. Go nowhere.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
From breaking news and weather across the country to insight from the brightest minds in conservative opinion, it's Salem News Channel. Home to the biggest shows on TV, like Dennis Prager weekdays at noon Eastern, followed by Jay and Jordan Seculo at 2. Join SNC, where facts are sacred, critical thinking is celebrated, and the pursuit of truth is unwavering. Watch Salem News Channel free now on Zumo Play. Learn more at snc.tv/Zumo.
When should you start collecting your Social Security? How you answer this question will be the difference in the success or failure of your retirement. Tune in to Money Matters with Al and Mike this week. They'll be sharing Social Security tips with you, from the basics of the program to strategies to maximize your Social Security payments. Al and Mike will help you sort out this important but often misunderstood part of your retirement income plan. Listen to Money Matters with Al and Mike, noon Saturday on AM 1280 The Patriot, or call them at 855-231-6010.
We all know that aches and pains come with simply getting older, but it doesn't mean you have to accept it. That's why I want to tell you about a special lady, Leah from Ohio, and her Relief Factor story. One Sunday, Leah was sitting on the couch in so much pain, she was literally in tears. That's when she decided to try Relief Factor. Just 8 days later, she found relief, and she continued to get better and better. To quote her, she said, "I am truly amazed at this product. Like me, who after 9, almost 10 years, almost a decade of low back pain, lost that pain thanks to Relief Factor. If you're living with aches and pain, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, could help you feel and live better every day. Get the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It all comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. That number, 1-800-4-RELIEF. relieffactor.com.
If you could build the world's greatest radio station, where would you start? We'd begin by creating a live station that's able to provide breaking news updates. Then we'd install some of today's top political voices behind the mic. Finally, we'd craft a convenient way to listen with a specialized mobile app. No, it's not a work in progress. It's on the air now. AM 1280, The Patriot. Intelligent radio. Online at am1280thepatriot.com.
The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. BearingArms.com covers Second Amendment issues, self-defense, the latest gear, and more. That's BearingArms.com.
Hey, welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. Me, Brad Carlson. Thanks always for tuning in. And here to take your phone call, 651-289-4488. You can also weigh in via Twitter, hashtag NARN Show, that's hashtag N-A-R-N Show, or check out our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page where we have a live stream up and running. And as always, we thank you for tuning in. We've been talking about Mary Moriarty, the new Hennepin County Attorney. She was elected back in, 2023. Or was it 2021? I don't remember exactly. I think it was may have been 2021. Don't remember exactly. It doesn't really matter. But she is now the Hennepin County Attorney. And it was y'all were warned in Hennepin County, those of you who voted for her, this restorative justice is pretty much a euphemism for allowing violent criminals out with unconscionably light sentences. And now the fact that she is wanting to let youth shooters, basically those who are under 18 but commit violent offenses and even homicides, want to let them out with probation or just in a juvenile facility and not charge them as an adult, even though they're committing very adult crimes. And yet wanting to charge a state trooper with murder, that's a problem. And it's getting to the point where now she's starting to be called out. And kudos to Ernesto Londano from the New York Times, said that posted a story about this, actually, because it's kind of a high-profile case of a state trooper being charged with murder. So Mary Moriarty, former public defender, became Minneapolis' top prosecutor last year after convincing voters shaken by the murder of George Floyd that she can improve public safety by reining in police misconduct and making the criminal justice system less punitive. Turbulence quickly followed. The Attorney General of Minnesota, Keith Ellison, a fellow Democrat who endorsed Moriarty as she campaigned to be Hennepin County Attorney, took over a murder case from her office last spring after concluding that it had offered an overly lenient plea deal to a juvenile defendant. By fall, two judges took the unusual step of rejecting plea deals offered by Moriarty's office,
deeming them too permissive for violent crimes. After this year, after Moriarty this year charged a state trooper with murder in the shooting of a motorist who drove away from a traffic stop, criticism mounted. Several law enforcement officials questioned the strength of the evidence in the case, and Governor Tim Walz, a Democrat, as well as members of Congress from both parties, have voiced concern about the prosecution. Mary Moriarty has done one hugely positive thing, said Chris Madel, a lawyer representing Ryan Londrigan, the state trooper who awaits trial in the death of Ricky Cobb II. She brought back bipartisanship to Minnesota in that people on both the left and right agree she's doing a terrible job. Moriarty is one of a handful of left-leaning prosecutors elected in recent years, promising to overhaul justice systems by jailing fewer people, holding police accountable for misconduct, and reducing racial inequities. Some met strong resistance as they pushed to limit cash bail requirements and sought less severe punishment against certain types of crimes to reduce the prison population. So this is this has been a pattern. There was a shooting that took place in I believe it was Brooklyn Center. And I've talked about the story before, where there was a guy who basically wanted to kill the new boyfriend of his ex-girlfriend. He was basically jealous that his ex-girlfriend was dating a new guy, and he wanted to take out the new boyfriend. So he basically elicited the help of a couple of 15, 16-year-olds to kill the guy. Well, they opened fire and fired multiple rounds, these 15-year-olds, on this apartment and ended up killing the woman. I think the boyfriend was able to get away, but killing the woman. And Mary Moriarty wanted him, I think she wanted him to serve time in a juvenile detention center and get off with probation and all that other thing. And you had the parents, the grief-stricken parents of the woman who was killed, basically coming out and calling out Mary Moriarty, who wanted to give this unconscionably light sentence. And again, I get it. These were juveniles, 15, 16 years old, but you can argue that, okay, a kid who steals from a convenience store, they've never been in any kind of trouble before. What purpose is that going to serve by throwing him into a jail with adults or throwing him into a long-term juvenile sentence? That's one thing. But when it's violent crime, come on, you can't tell me that opening fire with multiple rounds on an apartment trying to kill someone, that is somehow morally ambiguous. And, of course, that started kind of a narrative where, it's separate from this case, I get it, but I believe it was in Maryland where they were not wanting to charge a young adult, a literal young adult, with murder because, the moral part of the brain really isn't fully developed until like age 25. Yet the people who are saying that are also the ones who say that six-year-olds can transition to a different gender, but I digress. Well, fortunately, there's been evidence coming out in the case of Trooper Londrigan. This was from the Center of American Experiment last week, talking about the case, basically saying that the troopers on July 31st on I-94, three Minneapolis or Minnesota state troopers attempted to arrest Ricky Cobb for a felony domestic abuse. No contact order violation issued out of Ramsey County. Instead of complying with the trooper's commands to exit the vehicle, Cobb, who was a felon and knew he was armed with a handgun, refused to cooperate and exit the car. There are witnesses that have come out and said that all three of the troopers responsible for training Trooper Londrigan, and who was the Hennepin County Attorney's Office, had interviewed as part of their investigation, had clearly indicated to the Hennepin County Attorney's Office that Trooper Londrigan had acted in accordance with Minnesota State Patrol training and had not violated MSP general orders when he used deadly force against Cobb. So apparently that is flying in the face of what Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty said when she said this is something that state troopers do every day, and as a result, they receive extensive training on how to do so safely and effectively. Trooper Londegren did not follow this training. So now, all of a sudden, it's becoming the trooper's word, the other trooper's word, against Mary Moriarty's word. Okay? And so her credibility is being called into question. And it's getting more and more difficult to ignore just her sheer incompetence on a lot of these particular issues. So, again, worth following up upon, and we are definitely going to keep an eye upon it, that is for sure. Brad Carlson, the closer, back in mere moments with another segment on the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Go nowhere.
Need to ask a
When addiction takes hold, it's easy to feel like no one can help. But you're not in this alone. For 75 years, Hazelden Betty Ford has been at the forefront of addiction and mental health care, evolving treatment, reimagining recovery, and breaking through barriers to help families everywhere find healing. So please reach out at hazeldenbettyford.org. Help is here. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation and aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
We're taking you inside the Invergrove Hyundai service department. Alex, like the entire service team here, you're very experienced at servicing vehicles.
I've been a technician here at Invergrove Hyundai for 5 years.
What are you doing today?
Right now I'm working on a transmission service. About every 60,000 miles, I tell a customer they're due or will be due soon for a transmission flush. It's pretty essential to get those done. If you don't change your transmission fluid, it will get all gummed up and wreck the transmission. You can spend a couple $100 on a transmission flush or thousands later on a new transmission.
Why do people come to Invergrove Hyundai for service?
When customers come in for their multi-point inspection, they're guaranteed to get a full look-through, look-over of the vehicle. I like to think it's good customer service, in and out fairly quickly, and it's great people to work with.
For immediate openings for service on your Hyundai vehicle, contact Invergrove Hyundai now, online at InvergroveHyundai.com.
It's not over. Unplanned pregnancies still happen. I'm Marianne Kuharski, director of Pro-Life Across America. In my 30-plus years, I've never seen such a concerted attempt to silence our efforts and at a time when it's most needed. There's a powerful effort to prevent and block our pro-life messages. Our billboards, social media, and digital ads are all impacted. Our messages feature a hotline number connecting callers with more than 3,000 pregnancy support centers across America, offering alternatives to abortion, free ultrasound, and pregnancy assistance. Babies' lives are being saved. The need still exists. It really does. And Pro-Life Across America needs your help. Please find us at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org.
Did you know I could suck my thumb before I was born?
Yep, we all started small.
Quit smoking now with this exclusive half-price offer from The Mission and Breathe, freedom from nicotine. Get one program for $250, that's half price. Breathe is the faster, easier, more effective way to quit smoking and start saving. There are a limited number of these half-off deals available. That's $250 for one program from The Mission and Breathe Laser Therapy. You can quit smoking in just 60 minutes this week. Call The Mission at 651-405-8800.
Hey, welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. Me, Brad Carlson. Thanks always for tuning in. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter, hashtag Narn Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show for comments or questions. And don't forget to go to Facebook.com and do a search for the Northern Alliance Radio Network and give our page a like or a follow if you haven't done so already. And follow along in the live stream of the broadcast. And as always, we appreciate you tuning in. And kudos to my friend and valued colleague, Mitch Berg, texting in saying that Mary Franz, and I had indicated Mary Franz and won her, I think, second election to the House by one vote. Mitch clarified she led by one vote after the 2012 election, and the recount put her up by 15. So she ended up winning that by a landslide. So we call her Landslide Franz. And then it was Mike McFeely, the sports columnist and occasional Ed Schultz impersonator at KFGO. He was the one who, I guess, was writing a lot about Mary Franz, and even though he's in North Dakota, but was concerned with what a Minnesota state legislator was doing. So, Mitch, appreciate that. I occasionally fact-check Mitch and his show, so I'm grateful that he was able to come up with the cold, hard facts for me, so we appreciate it. Kind of switching gears a little bit and talking to a longtime friend of ours, Andrew Richter. No, not Conan O'Brien's former sidekick. No, this is Andrew Richter, writing a baseball connoisseur, political junkie, man about town, basically. He has written a book, of which I have received an autographed copy, by the way. It's a book entitled The Golden Age, A History of Baseball from 1900 to 1960. So we'll talk a little bit about the contents of the book and maybe reminisce about what baseball was like back in an era before both of us were, either of us were born. Andrew, good to see you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, buddy.
Is Andrew's microphone on? Is it on? Are we on? Can you talk in the microphone?
Oh, am I on now?
Okay. Yeah. Are we on? Sounds like Sid Hartman.
Sid Hartman.
Ricky, on?
Except he would keep talking. I stopped and waited for the light to come on.
Yeah. I see how that works. So, but Andrew, right now, I know you and I, we've done several podcasts on your Andrew Richter podcast. Mm-hmm. By the way, is there a good link to find the Andrew Richter podcast?
Yeah, it's on,
I've linked to it at bradcarlson.org, by the way, in the post promoting today's show. So if you want to go to my blog, bradcarlson.org.
Lisbon, I know it's there. We're on, what's Joe Rogan on? What's that?
Spotify?
One? Spotify. Okay. I'm on there, too. That's probably the best place.
Okay. Well, just do a search for Andrew Richter podcast. Yeah. You will find it. I've linked to it at my blog, bradcarlson.org, in the post promoting today's show.
We've done great shows.
We've had a lot of fun. Yeah, they go too fast. I mean, that 3.5 hours went quick. So it's amazing how
that works. 1991 show. We could have talked for a month, I think.
I think we could have, yeah. But no, we're going to be talking about the Golden Age, a history of baseball. You're a baseball fan, Andrew, so mm-hmm. I guess your motivation in digging into the history of the Golden Age, what was that about?
Well, yeah, you know, I get asked a lot about what I think about. I guess I'm known as sort of a traditionalist in the sport, although I don't like putting people in, you know, labels on people all the time. And
sure.
You know, 1984, a lot of people think I write on baseball history because I don't like how baseball's played now. And there might be 10% truth to that. But 1984, when I was 7, was the year I fell in love with baseball.
Okay.
You know, the Twins made a run that season, Kirby Puckett's rookie year, and they laid an egg at the end of the year, as we all know. The Detroit Tigers, probably the first great team I remember watching, and that was the year I fell in love with the sport. A year later is when Pete Rose broke Ty Cobb's hits record.
Right, right.
And I remember that got me fascinated with, well, who's Ty Cobb? You know, and I remember my mom got me Al Stumpf's book on Ty Cobb. I can't remember the title of it. Wasn't exactly for an 8 or 9 year old, by the way, to read. But the book's, you know, half urban legend, half truth.
Right.
And that got me intrigued with baseball's history, not recognizing that there was already 110 years at that point of baseball to discover. And so it was digging into that. And I remember we got cable and I watched Home Run Derby.
Oh, yeah.
From
fun times, yes.
That old stadium out in California. I watched Harmon Killebrew against Eddie Matthews. I remember that very
remember
vividly.
Harmon against Willie Mays. Oh, those were some
God,
fun shows.
Great?
Yeah, yeah.
So I fell in love with baseball history and always wanting to learn just a simple, you know, I think there's something nostalgic about a simpler time, like watching Leave It to Beaver or something like that, that there's a part of baseball that has the charm of being gone. You know, the stadiums are gone. Baseball is completely different with, you know, expansion and free agency and the DH. And some things have been good. Some things have been better. So it's to see baseball's evolution, too, is an interesting journey from that time. But 1900 to 1960, for me, is kind of in a time warp.
Okay.
Of just baseball was one way then, and from 1961 on, it's another way.
I noticed you cut it off just before our Minnesota Twins came into existence. Was that purposeful, Andrew Richter?
Absolutely it was. I did note it in the last chapter. I did write about Calvin moving the team and how
I had a lot to
DC
do with it
too, lobbied him to stay.
Yeah, right.
I mean, 61 was the year that, you know, everything kind of changed with expansion. Then the player draft came in 65 and free agency came in 76. And for better or worse, I mean, however you feel, I think some changes have been great for baseball. And, you know, some I like, some I don't like.
Right, right.
That's just me.
Yeah, I mean, you look at and one of the things I was struck by is how it was kind of a part-time job because players legitimately had to get jobs in the offseason. I mean, even now your major league slappies are making $300,000-$400,000 a year.
I think the minimum salary is like $280,000.
Yeah, yeah. Like so, yeah. You know, it can be a full-time endeavor, and now, you know, you take a month or two off after the season, then you get back into training and, you know, the nutritional aspect of it and everything's. And back in those days, you know, the golden age of baseball, you had guys, you know, like Babe Ruth living on beer and hot dogs, you know, and just showing up to the park hungover and hitting mammoth home runs. So
yeah, well, the story of Roy Campanella, how he got paralyzed, he owned a liquor store in the offseason and was driving home icy roads and hit a telephone pole.
Yeah,
he had to work.
Yeah.
He had to have a liquor store.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And
even a guy as great as him, you know, MVP, Hall of Famer, and guy has to work at a liquor store in the offseason.
Well, and you know, it kind of got me thinking. It's just like, you know, how the era was different in that, you know, you mentioned players, they lived among you in the neighborhoods, you know, in little apartment buildings. I mean, there was an old TV show on CBS, I think it was back in the 80s or 90s, called Brooklyn Bridge. It was short-lived. It was actually a good show. It was like set in the 50s. And these kids heard a rumor that Duke Snyder lived in this Brooklyn apartment building, and they would just kind of wait across the street to see if they could just see him, you know, because he was the part of the Brooklyn Dodgers. And they happened to see him walk in and say, "Hey, that's Duke, we love you, Duke." And he just kind of gave him a cursory wave and what that meant to a kid. And even though they were among us, they were still these figures. They didn't seem real, you know. Well, and you still had the reverence for the players back then, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and you have to remember it's a time where a lot of people didn't have television.
Yeah.
You didn't see these guys play.
That's America's past.
I mean,
listening to the radio, I mean, that's Americana.
Yeah.
You know, you're walking all down the streets, and in every window in a row house in the summertime, the radio's on to the ball game. That's
exactly.
Americana.
I know. It's incredible. There's stories about in Brooklyn where when they were in the World Series, because they played during the day back then, there were no night World Series
in
1970
right, yeah.
or 71, that you could run from school all the way home and listen to the game the entire way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
A little transistor radio. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's the thing about baseball, too, is the rich history that it has that other sports don't. I mean, you know, basketball and hockey were on CB radio and – I mean, you know, football hadn't figured out how to market itself yet. Now they've figured out, you know, Sunday and Monday night are their time, and that really didn't happen till the 70s and 80s. So baseball really was the king of sports. I mean, baseball and boxing actually were, for the longest time, the two biggest sports in the country.
And, of course, many will point to the 1941 season is perhaps one of the most historic baseballs. You know what I'm talking about.
You know, I think if you mention that to any baseball stat geek, two things go in their head right away. And it's funny you mention that because somebody actually asked me a few days ago which feat I thought, I mean, we're talking about the Ted Williams 406 and the DiMaggio's 56 game hitting streak.
Yeah.
And I will answer it differently than I used to. You know, I used to think it was Williams. Hitting 406, just today I can't even imagine somebody hitting 406. And DiMaggio during his entire hitting streak hit 408. So you kind of think to yourself, you know, 2 points lower than Williams for the season. But I will make the case that one of the purest records in baseball is Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. I mean, if you look through baseball history, the stat book, you know, from the dead ball days to the before a foul was a strike to, you know, the DH. And it's you can interpret it a million different ways. To me, to have a record stand expansion, relief pitching, DH, everything, and not be touched you know, Pete Rose put together a
44 game.
Yeah, and 78, I think. And
Paul Molitor got 39 back in 87,
yeah, I think it was. It's just and DiMaggio actually the streak was broken in Cleveland. Their third baseman, a guy named Ken Kelter, made two nice backhanded stabs. And then DiMaggio actually hit in 16 straight games after that.
That's
it could
amazing.
Have been a 73 game.
That's
league.
Unbelievable, yeah.
So, yeah, it was incredible. You know, Williams, you know, moxie of not sitting out the last two games. There's urban legend. I don't know how true it is that, you know, he was hitting .3996.
Yeah.
And he refused to sit out and went 6-for-8 in a doubleheader.
That's old school.
So, yeah.
Well, before we take a quick break here, and again, Andrew Richter is on to talk about his book. Let me get the title correct. The Golden Age, A History of Baseball from 1900 to 1960. This tells me everything about Ted Williams that I need to know and about the era of baseball. So Ted Williams from 1941 to 1947. 1941 batted .406, 1942 triple crown, and the years 1943, 44, 45, World War II,
yep.
1946, the year after the war, MVP, 1947 triple crown. I mean, that's folklore. That's the stuff of folklore, and this is what these guys did. Like, it was like, hey, this is what we're here to do. So
incredible. And I would say about Williams too, he served again in Korea in 1952.
That's amazing.
He was about 34 or 5 and was pretty livid at his recall, but he didn't have a choice. And so he actually missed 3 full seasons and parts of 2 others. And that's the old what if tag from guys in those days. Hank Greenberg, Joe DiMaggio missed 3 years, Bob Feller. You know, where they would rank in baseball history had they not. But that was the thing in those days. They weren't treated any different than anybody else. It was time to serve you. Hank Greenberg in particular was Jewish. So I think he took the war. He actually said, I may never return to baseball. If I don't, I don't.
We'll be back with one final segment on the broadcast with our good friend Andrew Richter to talk about his book, The Golden Age, A History of Baseball from 1900 to 1960. We'll also share with how you can get a copy of the book as well and be available to take your phone call, 651-289-4488. Back with one final segment on the broadcast. Go nowhere.
Over 60 and retired? Making ends meet, especially at the supermarket, is tough. BenefitsCheckup.org is a free website that helps you pay for food, medicine, even utilities. Visit BenefitsCheckup.org.
Hey, it's Michelle Tafoya, and I'm going to share with you a best-kept secret I only recently learned about. Furniture Manor of Osseo, one of the metro area's hidden gems. Furniture Manor is a family-owned furniture store that's been a beloved and trusted fixture in the Osseo community since 1969, and their time-tested reputation is a testament to their craft and commitment to their customers. What makes Furniture Manor special is their huge selection of furniture, from classic to contemporary, from American-made brands like Smith Brothers, Lexington, and Flexsteel, and with hundreds of different fabrics, styles, and finishes, they can help you design a home that reflects your style and personality, and their professionals are ready to help you achieve that. So if you're looking to create a comfortable and refined living space with the help of experts who genuinely want you to be happy, Furniture Manor of Osseo is the metro's best kept secret that you won't want to keep to yourself any longer. And Furniture Manor is easy to find just off Highway 169 in Osseo. Stop in today and get in on the secret.
Looking for a new way to give back to your community, learn new skills, and make a real difference? Consider volunteering with your local fire department. The majority of U.S. firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers, answering the call when their community needs them. Be part of a dedicated team of volunteers who step up and protect their community from all types of hazards. You can be the difference. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Aside from helping your community and being there for those in need, being a member of the Volunteer Fire Service provides many benefits, including an opportunity to learn new skills and join a family that will serve with you, always have your back, and train you to be the best version of yourself. Your community needs you. Will you answer the call? Learn more and find a local volunteer opportunity at makemeafirefighter.org. That's makemeafirefighter.org.
This is Jane Robileau, co-host on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. When it comes to supporting local food banks or raising money for those in need, our listeners know they can count on this station to lend a helping hand. More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio monthly for community connection. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM radio remains free in vehicles. If you value this station, help ensure it stays in vehicles for the next generation by visiting dependonam.com.
If you can snap your fingers, you can find this radio station. Your smartphone is now your smart radio. There are no limitations on where you can find us. We're always on. It's liberty and truth through your smart speaker. Just say, play Freedom Radio, Minneapolis.
Hey, welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. It's me, Brad Carlson. One final segment on the broadcast. Still in studio is our good friend Andrew Richter talking about his latest book, The Golden Age, A History of Baseball from 1900 to 1960. And by the way, if you're a baseball nut like Andrew and I are, you can definitely get the book at barnesandnoble.com. I know it's one area you can get it. Any other spots, Andrew?
Ebook Time, my publisher, ebooktime.com. They publish on demand. You can also get the ebook if you want. That's available too.
Oh, fantastic!
You don't want to. I can't read on a computer personally.
No, I'm old school. I like my books, man. So that's good.
But for a lot of people younger than me, that's how they. Hey, I like reading. You know, I think it's a lost thing to me.
Well, now you being a baseball fan, certainly a connoisseur of a lot of books from the past. And as you're doing research for this particular book, any stories, anecdotes, whatever else that you came across that you're like, huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think the biggest one is the Hank Aaron, Willie Mays story.
Oh, do tell.
Willie was on the Giants. 1951 was his rookie year. He was on deck for Bobby Thompson's home run. And then he actually served in Korea. After that, he was back by 54 when they won the title. But the Giants went, there were three or four teams that went really hard after Hank Aaron. Hank was a couple years younger.
Right.
And Aaron decided to sign with the Braves over the Giants because they offered another $50 a month.
Oh.
You talk about what they were getting paid back then?
Big money, yes.
And Bob Quinn, their GM, was the guy who predicted that Aaron would be a big time star, because Aaron was, I don't want to compare him to like Kirby Puckett, but you know, a late bloomer, like with the power and with, it was minor league stats. You don't ever guess this guy was going to break Babe Ruth's home run record.
Right.
But afterward, Mays and Aaron used to joke with each other that, hey, you know, we'd have been teammates if it wasn't for $50.
Yeah, right.
Imagine amazing. That outfield. So, because they had Monty Irvin in left field, who was a great Negro League player who was a little older, but he came over and he was on the 51 and 54 Giants team as well. So all three of them could have been in the outfield together.
I don't care what you say. Hank Aaron is my home run champion of all time. So
see, what's great about writing about this is I don't have to get into those debates.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That is a non sequitur. That is kind of an aside, I guess. I'm not necessarily a non sequitur because we are talking baseball, yeah. But an aside nevertheless. So, you know, we talk about this particular, you know, golden age. 1960, you know, we kind of joke about that was the year before our Twins came to Minnesota in 1961. Well, we're just right up the road here where the Mall of America is now. But also, that was Ted Williams' final season, 1960, and ended his career by hitting a home run.
Last at bat. I think he hit like 28 in his last year, too.
Yeah.
He was about 42. He was quite the – you know, and – Williams, we should mention this, him and Mays, they both played for the Minneapolis Millers at one time.
That's true, yeah.
Nicollet Park. So Williams, 1938, I think it was.
Most personal friend of mine.
Yes, yeah, Sid was probably there. He won the Triple Crown the year of the American Association, I think the Millers played in. Nicollet Park was an old wooden relic of a field. But so Ted and Willie Mays both played for Minneapolis Millers.
You know, you kind of show in the juxtaposition of the modern game to, as you refer to, as the golden age. So The All-Star game, the 1999 All-Star game, was, of course, in Fenway Park. Mm-hmm. And they trotted Ted Williams out there. You know, he was not in the greatest of health. He had to be – he had to come out on a motorized cart because he couldn't really walk that well. So I think at that point he was in his early 80s, if I remember right. Wasn't in the greatest of health. And you see all of these players, the All-Stars that day, including Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn, I think that was his second-to-last year in the league. I mean, these guys, they were like little kids. Yeah. Just surrounding him, just listening to any nuggets, any pearls of wisdom that they could get from him. But what I was, what I was going to share was Ted Williams. He had a son later in life, John Henry, who was about my age. So Ted was like 50 when his wife gave birth to John Henry, and John Henry Williams. Basically, he was this guy who looked to exploit his dad's name, you know, to kind of go off and in these ventures. And then in 1999, the internet. The dot-com boom was just kind of starting to come around, and people were wondering how they can get in on it. So Ted, when he was trotted out to the center of the diamond at Fenway Park, where he played his career, instead of having a Boston Red Sox cap on, he had on a hat with the URL of his kid's internet business. That's where the golden age kind of went smack dab into the modern day game and exploitation.
Funny, I do remember
Andrew Richter,
him in,
yes.
in a weird hat. And now that you mention it,
I remember thinking, like, what is that hat? Because he would like Ted Williams, and he kind of waved. I'm like, what does it say in his hat? So it worked. People were trying to figure out what the hat said, you know. And of course, again, this was the beginning of all these big .com businesses, kind of like the oil boom. And then, of course, a lot of them fell by the wayside, and only a few. Yeah. Emerged, you know.
What happened to AOL?
And yeah, exactly.
Where are they?
Exactly. You know, kind of like all these, how all these businesses evolve, you know, they, you know, a bunch of them get it like the car business, and then they reach critical mass and only a few stay standing. So.
Yeah, only the demand and the supply, those basic economics still comes down
but,
to that.
But it's just amazing how these players still had reverence and appreciation for the golden age, even though we were starting to get into more stats-driven era at that point, they still had appreciation for the old game. And so that, I think we could take heart in.
Yeah, and
got about 20 seconds.
Yeah, and I think the stats, you know, they're important. And some of the new ones are, I believe in too, you know. So that's another evolution. Branch Rickey, one of the people who started that when he was with the Dodgers, was the first person to hire a statistician. So it happened back in the 40s too.
Yeah. Oh, again, we need another hour, Andrew, but it's always an honor to talk to you, sir. We appreciate you stopping by, man.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
And, folks, as always, thank you for tuning in. AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. Godspeed, my friends. Have yourselves a blessed week.
Closing time.
This is an urgent announcement for anyone that's $10,000 or more in debt. Before you make another minimum payment, you need to know there are special programs that can completely free you of your debt. Total Financial Freedom can help you become debt-free in months instead of years. Resolve your credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and timeshares. Call now at 800-533-6605 for a free consultation. For 16 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands get out of debt. You can feel confident when calling because Total Financial Freedom is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and a Christian-owned company. Don't get stuck in the endless cycle of payments. You have the right to get your debt resolved and substantially reduce your monthly payments. Call Christian-owned Total Financial Freedom now at 800-533-6605. That's 800-533-6605. 800-533-6605.
Arby's Computer Service.
You and your business are online today more than ever. Most people are working from home and meeting via internet, and that means IT structures are overtaxed and Wi-Fi is humming. An outage in one of your critical systems now could be a fatal blow to your operation. Arby's Computer Service is ready and able to help. Their staff is standing by and prepared to offer assistance. If your business IT system experiences a failure, give Arby's a call. Their professional team of certified computer and networking specialists is experienced in diagnosing and solving a wide range of issues. With Arby's Computer Service on the job, you'll never have to worry about dealing with IT-related issues on your own. Whether it's for your personal system or business, Arby's Computer Service knows that internet traffic is surging, and they're available now to help. You'll always get competitive pricing, trustworthy advice, and excellent customer service from Randy and his team at Arby's Computer Service.
Giving your computer problems a boot, Arby's Computer Service.
My name is John Richardson, and I am from Badness Heights, Minnesota. Well, there was a big hailstorm that came through the neighborhood, and my roof was severely damaged, and I knew I needed new shingles. Well, there were a lot of people who came through the neighborhood. Every 10 or 15 minutes, people would be knocking on my door saying they would help me repair the roof. JTR, I had dealt with them before, and they immediately called me and said that they would meet with my insurance company, assess all the damage, and make sure that my roof was repaired properly. Within 2 days, they had the job finished. One of the things I noticed about the workers was that they, as they did the job, they would clean up and make sure that all the debris was picked up. I think the best part about JTR was when they took a look at my shingles and they made sure the insurance company knew that they were architectural shingles, not just your normal shingles on a house. JTR Roofing did everything and more that I asked them to do. They did a great job. Call them. They will come out and take care of everything you need, and they are really professional.
AM 1280. The
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.